Let me read a few words to you as we continue through this series together, standing in God's grace, standing strong in it. I was reminding you last week, I was telling you that this series and the reason which the Lord has put this book in my heart is that we're living through a very tough, challenging time socially, economically, spiritually, in a world where it seems to be every corner words of and actions that are racist, that are of hatred, that are of untold truth or distorted truth. And this letter comes in the midst of that to remind us, as we as Christians, we are called to stand firm in the truth of God and to carry on the truth of God's word in a society which condemns today being truthful to one's faith, especially the faith in one God as we have, whom we declare to be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So Peter comes to write to the people about this and to encourage the Christians in Rome and throughout Asia Minor that they must stand firm in the grace of God. Now, before I'm going to read the Word of God, Renata, you're more than welcome to come and translate for your mom and dad from that microphone there. I really don't mind at all. I'm going to go slowly, and we're going to have about 20 minutes together. Or you can do it from there, from the whatever is comfortable to you. I'm giving you the option. I was happy anyway. So let me read just a couple of verses from 1 Peter, beginning at verse 3. Peter gets to a stage where he experiences, Daniel reminded, of God's grace in his life. And Peter is the guy, if you remember, who is a very on fire, high hyper guy. He's not a gentle guy. This is the guy who will play rugby for you. He's not the guy who will have the patience to play chess or anything like that. He is a rugby player. And he comes to a stage now in his life where he's experienced so much God's grace and faithfulness that this sentence here in verse 3, the first few words there, he says, "Praise be to God." He really shouts that out in the original language. He really shouts that out from the bottom of his heart. "Praise be to God and Father of our Jesus Christ. In his great mercy," and he tells us now why he praises God so much, "he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance they can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Verses 3, 4, and 5. That's all I wanted to read, and that's what the message is going to focus on this morning, on just those three little verses that I think are the key to the whole of the letter of 1 Peter. And I have two aims for this morning. One, that you should praise God as Peter did at the end of the day, at the end of this message in about 20 minutes' time. And secondly, that you will understand why those three verses here matter so much to our living and daily living in our faithfulness and discipleship life today. One, to praise God. And why does it matter to live and stand firm in the grace of God today? Those two things. And it says that God did something, incredibly something for us. He did something fantastic. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he did two things. One, he's given us a new birth. Another translation says, he causes us to be born again. We can set this off in really two statements. God has done something, causes us gave us a new birth, and we should do something. We should be praising God. Those are the two key statements within this whole letter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, that he writes. Praise be to God because he has given us a new birth. Now remember the people who he writes to. At the time, remember last week, it feels like last year, Last week, I showed you that video from Vovades, the movie, where Christians were thrown to the lions. Those are the circumstances to which Peter writes to. Those are the people whose lives were torn apart. They felt God is not faithful and is not graceful. Yet they continue to praise God. And Peter says, remember that you praise God because you've been given a new birth, a new status in Him. Peter could have written a very boring style kind of lecture or letter here, and could have something, I don't know, you could have written something like, today I would like to lecture you on five topics: God's mercy, our new birth, the resurrection of Jesus, an inheritance in heaven. You get the point. He could have done a good lecture and a good seven-point sermon, as a good Baptist will do. But he didn't do that. Peter begins his letter with an explosive, amazing statement of praise. Praise be to God, full stop, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Amazing statement, affirmation of who God is and the reason he is doing that. Biblical preaching always touches the head and the heart. I'm sure you will want me, or you will want, when you come to church every Sunday morning, to go home with just more than a nice sermon, Vika. Thank you very much. I feel that my collection today was worthy the money that I put in. But you want more than information. You want transformation. And I think this is what God is after every time we come to worship Him and bring praise to Him. There's been this war for years, for ages, over millennia, that when you come to church, only worship. So people, some people say, if I sang hymn number, or we sang the contemporary song, whatever. Worship and praise, it is by engaging into singing, whatever it is, that the worship is there, and it is by listening to the word of God. There's both our worship and praise that we bring to Him. Engages both mind and soul. The whole truth of God takes place within us. It's not mere knowledge that we are after. It's a life that is transformed by the grace of God that helps us declare. When we understand His grace, when we are flooded with His grace, then will help us declare His praises. We're not coming here to sing just as an exercise. We are here this morning because we have experienced His grace fresh and new in our lives in such a way that we now stand up here and sing and bring praise and listen to the message, saying together in one voice, in one echo, praise be to God for a new birth that He's given us. He's given us. Now, William Temple, the great Archbishop of Canterbury, he defined worship, and I love, this is the best definition of worship that I've ever found, to be honest, and I've seen many, but this is the best I like anyway. Worship is the submission of all of our nature to God, everything, all of our nature. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness, nourishment of mind by His truth, purifying of imagination by His beauty, is that opening of the heart to His love and submission of His will to His purpose. Best statement of worship I have ever seen. That's what it is. Worship is the submission of all that we are to God, including singing, including listening to sermon, including serving Him on the ridge, serving Him in schools, as a plumber, as an electrician, as a banker. Worship is total response of who we are to the grace of God and the gifting, as Daniel pointed out this morning, that He's given us that we can serve Him with. Worship is a total response of who we are to all that God is. It's an ongoing response of the heart, of our heart, to the revelation and the heart of God. Why this matter? Praise be to God. Peter doesn't begin by talking about their problems. You know, Peter could have started this letter to say, if I would have been Peter, that's how I would have started, knowing that I write to an audience that is persecuted, that is killed, that is in big, big trouble, that the government does not accept them, that they pay huge taxes than everybody else, that they are not allowed to meet, they are not allowed to pray, that they are not allowed to confess Jesus Christ. The way I would have started this letter would have been, you know, I'm so sorry about you guys. I don't know, I'm really sorry in the situation in which you are. What can I do to help? Can I do a pastoral visit? Can I write another letter to you or something like that? That's how I would have probably started to acknowledge their problems. But he doesn't do that. He acknowledges who God is. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is key to the way we stand firm in the midst of all problems and difficulties today. We acknowledge who God is before we look at the problems that are around us. Because when we acknowledge how faithful God is, how graceful He is, how compassionate, how incredibly loving God is, then the problems disappear from perspective. He starts with praise be to God. And then he reminds them of why he praises God. Look at this, five statements. Great mercy. That's why I'm praising God, Peter says. New birth, living hope, huge, massive guarantee of an inheritance that is eternal. And another one, shielded by God's power. That's why Peter writes to them to encourage them, saying, in the midst of all that you're going through just now, guys, let me remind you of this. Praise God, because you, do you remember what I told you last week? What are the three big words? Who can remember them? All start with C. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Second. Thank you. And third. Chosen. Called. And cleansed. Chosen, called, and cleansed. My goodness, it was only 7 days ago I preached that sermon. You may be blessed. Great mercy, new birth, living hope, and inheritance. Here's, I guess, in another way to look at that, it's to say we have experienced God's mercy. We have been given a new birth. We have now a living hope. We have a guaranteed inheritance in heaven, and we are kept by God's power. Another way to look at this is the theme, praise be to God. The source is God's mercy. The means is a new birth. The evidence is a living hope that we live in. The guarantee is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The goal is inheritance in heaven. Assurance kept by God's power. Result, salvation ready to be revealed in verse 6. What a statement to make, and what a reason to praise God for. What is the main point in all of Peter's mention? That verse 3 is very clear. He has given us a new birth. Peter explains the great blessing that are ours through Jesus, and this particular phrase, new birth. God has given us new birth, and now we are new people. Once you come to Christ as a Christian, you are a new creation with a new hope, with a new inheritance, a new life, a new confidence, a new joy, and a new destiny. And that is exactly what the main thrust of his message that Peter wants to bring to the people of Asia at the time, is the message that Peter wants to bring to us today in the midst of the challenges that we go through at this stage in this country, in our society, in the world in which we live. God has given us a new birth. And Peter looks at new birth and declares that God did it. It's nothing to do with us. Remember in Ephesians, that's why it says there, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can ever boast. Not at all. The new birth comes from God through His Holy Spirit in our lives as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If I were to ask you a question, how do you know that you are born? How do you know you have a birth? Well, I guess you can prove it with your birth certificate. You can show a picture when you were little. You can. Back at home, I've got a box where I keep all my Romanian pictures. They're all black and white, in them days, they were only black and white. And I have a little envelope with a small chunk of my hair. Usually it's a custom in Romania that when your child is 1 year old, they cut a piece of hair and they put it there as a souvenir. I'm glad they didn't do a circumcision. It's better to have the hair cut than anything else. So I was grateful for that. I don't know why I said that, but I just said it. No, please, don't translate that. I'll be in trouble. Oh, no, don't translate that. I'll be in big trouble. Just told him about the hair. Then leave it to that. How do you know you've been born again? I know I've been born again because I have the God, the love, the life, and the hope of God in my life. And that's the certificate that God has given us through His Holy Spirit, the assurance that He has put in our hearts. We ought to say almost this way: once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. I had no hope, but now I have a living hope. I was guilty, but now I'm forgiven. I was an enemy, but God made me His friend. I was a rebel, but now I'm a servant of the living God. It is enough to say Jesus Christ has truly changed my life. Not just to say praise be to God in worship and singing, but it's to reflect it into our lives together. When I got to this point of my sermon preparation, it just came all week, came this song to me. It's a Methodist song. We sing it in Romania quite a lot, and I'm sure you will know it here too. I don't know whether I should try and sing it or not, but I might not, but you, I think you will know it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply, staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifting me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Do you know the song? Can we sing that song, just that verse? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the water lifting, safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Thank you. This is a song I walk in to give my life to Christ over 34 years ago as a young man. I'll never forget. And the whole congregation were singing that so powerfully. And this is the wonderful, truthful words that Peter would like to affirm, that in the midst of your troubles and tribulation, when God seems unfaithful and that His grace is not sufficient for you, love will lift you up. The master will come in at the right time. And so we have a living hope, a guaranteed inheritance, and are kept by God's power. Incredible, incredible, incredible statement of reassurance from Peter's pen, from Peter's letter. Great mercy, new birth, living hope, inheritance, shielded by God's power. Never forget this. In the midst of a society who will try, and might try one day even in this country, to undermine faith, to undermine your walk with God, we are shielded by God's power. And we are both through that cross in a new and brought into a new birth. But why does it matter? I said this is more than just information, the message. But why does it matter? This is the second question. First part addresses why we should praise God, but second is why all this really matter. Remember the first Peter was really written to Christians who were in massive, massive problem, in big, big trouble. And Peter is saying to them, basically, my brothers and sisters, times are coming when, and they're already here. Some of you are in the midst of very difficult trials, but let me tell you, it's going to get even worse before it gets better. He is not running away from the truth of what's happening in the society at the moment. He's telling it as it is. Peter, remember, is a very feisty guy. And he says, well, I'll tell you something. There is good news, but not yet. There's going to be some good news, but later on. And those words could have been written for the summer of 2017. If you look for comfort and a better life, let me tell you that trouble might come. And this could be a prophetic word. That's why I think 1 Peter is so relevant to 2017 in this country too. Look what's happening in the world today. Trouble may come, may come. And so Peter says, we have experienced God's mercy, we have been born again, we have a living hope, we have an inheritance in heaven, and we are kept by God's power. It may be that God is drawing you to himself. Do not resist him, but run to the cross and be saved. Trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and all will be well. Look at the benefits you will get. His mercy, a new birth, and a living hope. May God grant you faith to believe in the gospel in a very challenging and difficult circumstances that we live in today. And for all of us, no matter what may come, stand up and stand firm in the grace of Christ. In the grace of Christ. In the midst of all the trouble that might come, we must remain firm but graceful in all of it. Firm but graceful. Truthful but loving in all of this. So that the name of Christ may continue to be glorified, not only in our church, not only in the city, but in the place of work, in our families, and throughout the world. Let's just pray, and then we'll sing a song that will prepare our hearts for coming into all that God has for us in his grace, and prepare us to the cross. And this morning, as we acknowledge that through the bread and the wine, the inheritance, the living hope, the incredible mercy of God and his power that gives us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that this message is for us today. A message of reassurance that we are born not just of human flesh and of human lust, but we are born anew by your Holy Spirit. You have given us birth that we may come to worship you. And we bring you praise and glory today in this place right now. Because you are our God. We worship you. Thank you for the new birth. Thank you for the new inheritance. Thank you for the new living hope. Thank you for your protection and power in today's world. Lord, we ask that you will make us graceful people who will walk with the truth in hand, with a breastplate of righteousness, with a shield of faith on, with a sword of the Spirit, with the sandals of the gospel of peace. Lord, clothe us that we may look like you in the whole of the spiritual armor, so that we may glorify you in our lives, in our families and work. And if you're new to our church here, I pray that the Lord will show you his love. If you're new to an inquiry about Christ and you not want to know him more, I pray this morning that you will know him and that he will show you his love. If you don't know Christ, just ask him to come into your life and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I don't understand everything, but I want to trust my life into your hands. I want you to come in my life and be my Lord. I want you to be my Christ and my Savior. I renounce my sin, and I want to declare your praises as the one and true God. I want to worship you, and I want to do your will for the rest of my life. If you pray that prayer, I pray that the Lord will bless you, and that you will walk with him now in his mercy, in a new life, with a new hope, with a new inheritance, that you are his forever now. May the Lord bless you as you walk with him faithfully. May the Lord bless all of those of you who have been walking with him for so many years and seen his faithfulness in your life. May he continue to guide you and bless you and show you the purposes for your life. May you be blessed. May you be loved. Stand firm, I pray, by his grace in you and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just going to sing a song now to prepare ourselves for the communion. You choose the cross. The worship group is going to sing it for us. If you know it, do join in. Please remain seated. I think it's such an incredible, adequate song for going and using as an invitation to the communion. Remember, God has chosen us. The reason he's chosen us is because he's chosen the cross for all of us. Sins are forgiven. Grace is bestowed on each one of us as we trust him. You choose the cross.